start in the first verse here. And as we begin to study into this and look into this tonight, I want us to think about, do you have a testimony of experience that you know that you and God have come together and that God has saved your soul? In order for that to happen, there are a few things that must happen. You see, I'm not one that's going to tell you there's many steps into salvation. But there are requirements that must happen in order for you to be saved. And I want you to think about that tonight as we start in the 116th Psalm. We believe David is writing here. He says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. Because He has inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. And I found trouble and sorrow. Then I cried upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, or beg thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O soul, for my Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. We're going to stop reading there. We might read some more here in a minute, but we're going to stop there for right now. Remember I said you must experience some things in order to truly be saved by God's grace. The world wants to teach a salvation without an experience. The Bible teaches a salvation through the experience.
Amen.
You must know some things. David here said he found trouble and sorrow. And I want to bring the Old Testament and the New Testament together tonight. Bear with me for just a few moments for you to understand that God has not changed and neither has His plan.
Amen.
When David gave his testimony, it is the same testimony that has saved my soul tonight.
Amen.
It has not changed. I want you to understand when David said that he found trouble and sorrow here in the 116th Psalm, what the New Testament writer said, Paul told the Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, he said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, but unto or towards salvation. You see, without that godly sorrow, you will never be saved. It's a requirement by God in order for us. Because I'll be honest with you tonight, without godly sorrow, you'll never see yourself except anything but a good person.
Amen.
Godly sorrow is what gives us the realization, not only in our mind, but in our heart, that we are a lost, separated sinner in the eyes of God. Without it, we would not believe any of it.
Amen.
And you know what? It's the same from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Amen.
David said, I found trouble. And I found sorrow. Paul described it as a godly sorrow. And I think it's very important that we go ahead and finish that verse. He said, for worldly sorrow brings forth death. In other words, just a mental knowledge of being sorry for something just brings you to a point of death. But that godly sorrow that worketh inside that only God can give. A few nights ago I told you that God will tell you you're lost, just as He'll tell you you're saved. And it's only through and by God that you realize that you're lost and separated from Him. And it's only through and by God that you realize that you're saved by God's grace.
Amen.
It's because of that godly sorrow that brings you to the point that you can't even begin to repent. David started out here in the 116th Psalm. Said, I love the Lord because He had heard my voice and my supplication. You see, David got a little ahead of himself before he told the whole testimony. He told you why he loved the Lord. The Lord heard him because God brought that godly sorrow upon him, and he cried mightily into His name. You can read that there in the 116th Psalm, where he cried mightily unto God. He beseeched the Lord, or begged God, to save his soul, to deliver him, and God heard his cry, but it all started with the godly sorrow. It's that drawing power of God. That convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You can call it convicting power, you can call it drawing power, you can call it godly sorrow, but without any of it, you will never be saved.
Amen, man.
Never. Never. And it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Why? Because Jesus Christ is salvation, and He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's not going to require something different from Brother Taylor than He would you tonight.
Amen. Exactly.
It's all the same. From the beginning of time. From the beginning of time, it has not changed. Adam came the same route as I did. If he didn't, he would not have been saved.
Amen. Exactly.
It has to come the same way. And God's not going to pick and choose and say, well, you know, you're pretty good, so No, you can relax a little bit. No. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, but unto salvation. Without it, there is no salvation.
Amen.
Without the repentance. You see, a world wants to teach salvation without repentance. Why should I repent? I'm not that bad of a person. Your sins placed Christ upon the cross, so therefore you are guilty of murder.
Amen.
Oh, you don't like hearing that, do you? But it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. Our sins. We'll go back. We started out Friday night and we talked about the 53rd Psalm where he said our sins and our transgressions were placed upon Him. He was chastised for the chastisement of our peace. It's because of us tonight that He had to die in the year 2017. Our sins were upon Him.
Amen.
So yes, therefore you are guilty. 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 You might not have been there in the crowd hollering, crucify Him. You might not have been there in the crowd spitting upon Him. You might not have been there in the crowd trying to hammer the nails. You might not have done anything to Him physically. But it's because of your sins and my sins that He had to die because you were not good enough for the sacrifice.
Amen.
We're not going to re-preach what we preached Friday night. But I want you to listen. Because there are requirements from God in order for you to be saved. Not requirements from me. Requirements from God. Why is it from God and not me? Because it's God that does the saving.
Amen.
It's God that does the convicting. It's that godly sorrow that worketh the repentance. Not the sorrow of the preacher. Not the sorrow of the church. It's the sorrow of God to understand and know where you stand in His sight. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, but the Spirit of God doesn't take it deep down in your heart. It's not going to go anywhere.
Amen.
It's through and by the power of the Spirit that we realize and know where we stand in the sight of God. David realized this because he found not just trouble and sorrow. Listen to what he found. He said the sorrow of death, which means separation. That's what death is. Have you ever looked up the definition of death? A physical death is separation of soul and body.
Amen.
The body lays lifeless. The soul is the life and is gone. That's a physical death. A spiritual death is the separation of soul and God. And then therefore, it is dead. And David will say that he was lost and separated from God. The sorrows of death compassed him or surrounded him in a point that he knew that that godly sorrow had shown him that he was separated from God.
Amen.
Compassed him. Fully engulfed him. That he understood. You know, tonight if you're here and lost, and you say, well, God hadn't dealt with me for a long time, or maybe not dealing with me right now. I pray that the pains of hell and the sorrows of death would compass you and just consume you to the point to where you can't do anything but call upon God.
Amen.
That's how important it is tonight. It's not a game we're playing here tonight. We're not here to play games. We're here in a serious note. And that's because you might die tonight.
Amen.
You might. You say, well, I've heard that my whole life. You know, one of these times we're going to be right.
Amen.
And that could be tonight. It could happen this very moment. You could not even make it out of this church before you're stricken dead.
Amen.
It could happen. I've heard of different men be preaching and sit down in a pew or at the altar and just die of a heart attack. I've heard of others that were murdered in the altar area. I have heard of these things happening in the churches. Not too long ago, there was a church that a young man went into and opened fire and started shooting the members of that church. You see, your life is not in your hands tonight.
Amen.
And it could happen to you. Well, I'm in church. I'm safe. No, you're not.
Amen.
The only safe place to be is in the hands of Christ.
Amen.
Yes, that's the only safe place. That's the only safe haven we have. It's in the hands of Christ. And Jesus said that if my Father has given you to me, in other words, if you've been saved, you are in my hands, and no man, woman, child, or demon can pluck you out. But if you're not, you're not part of that safe haven. You're not part of that ark of safety. You are waiting for the floods to come flowing down upon you. This evening, have you experienced salvation? I'm not going to try to be very long tonight. But I want you to understand and realize that there are some things that have to happen. Why is it even called an experience? Jesus called it something specific. He said that ye must be born again. You see, if you are born again, you witness something in your life. You physically experience something in your life. Something that has happened that you know you might not be able to explain it, but you know something has happened. Paul said that we are made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. New things are here. Something happened to make us realize it. Paul said in Ephesians that we were once dead in our sins, but by the Spirit of God we've been quickened or made alive. Something happens. Jesus said you must pass from death unto life in order to be saved. This evening, if you are going to find salvation, something is going to happen. There's going to be a change that is made deep down inside. Not the outward appearance, but deep down inside there's going to be a change that is made that you know that God has spoken peace to your heart. It's not a mind-known salvation. It's a heartfelt, know-soul salvation. And if you don't come through the requirements of God, you will never find it.
Amen.
It's not something you just wake up in the morning and say, I'm saved today. It's not just something you wake up in the morning and say, well, tomorrow I'll repent. No. The Bible talks about a man that his harvest was plentiful. And he thought unto himself, what am I going to do? Oh, soul, what am I going to do? I've got all this harvest. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger and I'll have everything taken care of the rest of my life. You know what God told that man? He said, oh, thou fool. Today thy soul is required from thee. Don't be a fool today, because today thy soul can be required of thee, and has it experienced God is what matters.
Amen.
I don't care what you have in this life. I don't care if you've got more than me or not, that's fine. I don't care if you have less than me, that's fine. But do you have Jesus?
Amen.
That's what matters.
Amen.
That's all that matters. You can have all the millions that this world can even produce, and it's still not getting you to heaven. You know where it's going to end up? I'd tease my dad about it all the time. I said, Dad, I know you're careful with your money. I know you're careful with your car. But you know what? When you're gone, your money's going to me. And your car is going to me. And my sisters. And you've seen us all drive. And you've seen us all spend money. So, Dad, it all ends here. Somebody else is going to take that.
Amen.
It's going to stay here. God allows the world to continue on. He said these things that we see with these eyes are temporal. Temporary. In other words, they're here today and gone tomorrow. Your life is temporary. You are here today and you're gone tomorrow. It's like a vapor, a flash of lightning. It's gone that quick. And I've only been here 46 years. And it's passed by very quick. Very quick. It gets quicker as every day goes by. But one thing I've got on you, I've experienced salvation.
Amen.
So no matter how quick time goes, or if time comes to a complete stop today, heaven is my home. Can you say that today? Can you say that beyond a shadow of a doubt and know that today, if you were to take your last breath, or if you were to hear the last trump that we've heard about for the past couple days, if you were to hear that or to feel that, would you be in heaven? Would you be there? Well, you know how you know? Because you experience God here.
Man.
That's how you know. That's how David knew. He found trouble and he found sorrow. The pain to hell got hold upon. He said, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech you, I beg you. He was begging God. Deliver my soul. I don't think if you come to God with an attitude, you're ever going to find salvation.
Amen.
I don't think if you go to God acknowledging anything but Him, you're going to be able to find salvation. David said, I begged God. I beseeched Him with everything I had. In other words, he's given his all to the Lord and said, Lord, save me, deliver my soul. If you don't ever beg God, you will never find God.
Amen.
You better become the beggar.
Amen.
Very quick. You better understand that He is the King and you're the peasant. And you need to go to Him in order to find it. Jesus came to this world seeking to save those who are lost. You know what Jesus is doing right now? He's still seeking to save those that are lost.
Amen.
He's sitting at the right hand of the Father wanting to make intercession on your behalf that you can experience salvation. Not just that you can think you're saved or think you're alright or think everything's going to be good. No, He wants you to know. He wants you to know. He said there's men out here in this world that are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But He wants you here tonight to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to understand and know what it truly is, a knowledge of knowing. We referred to Peter the other night and how he knew Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ knew him. You read the story about the Lazarus, the beggar and the rich man. And I don't know if you've ever paid much attention to it and read it or if you just heard it in your midst, but understand and know this, he never called the rich man by name. But he always called Lazarus by name. Why? Because Lazarus had that knowledge of salvation. He has experienced it. He knew Christ and Christ knew him. The rich man never found God.
Amen.
So in hell, he lifted his eyes. He never knew Jesus. Jesus never knew him in the free pardon of sin. And in hell, he lifts your eyes. You know what? If you want to go to hell, I can't stop you. If you want to go to hell, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. What you're doing right now.
Command.
You don't have to do anything to go to hell. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. And I don't want this next comment to be taken wrong. But you don't have to do anything to go to hell. But you have to do something to get to heaven.
Amen.
Not by works. But you must come to the one that has the power.
Amen.
Which is Christ. Tonight, if you want to die and go to hell, I can't stop you. If that's what you want, I can't stop you. I don't want you to. And I guarantee you, God the Father does not want you to.
Amen.
But if you want to, if that's what you choose, if you choose death over life, I can't stop you. The church can't stop you. God will not force you. Will not force you to seek Him.
Amen.
He will draw and compel you to come to Him. And if you do, it's up to you. If you don't, it's up to you. You can reject God tonight if you want.
Amen.
You don't have to come to the altar. You don't have to go in the back to pray. You don't have to pray at your seat. You can just go on home and go on with your everyday life. And you can die and split hell wide open. And when you do, you cannot blame God. You cannot blame this church. And you can't blame this loudmouth preacher. Because the warning has went out. And what you do with that warning is up to you. It's up to you tonight. If God's drawing you and you say, no, not tonight. Not a good night, Lord. It's raining outside. Had a rough week. I'm just a little tired. Really praying is just going to wear me out a little bit more. And I've got to go to school or I've got to work tomorrow. And I've got to get some rest. I don't have time. I don't really have time for you, Lord. But you know what? You heard Brother Taylor this morning tell you, Lord's not going to have time for you. He said, one day you're going to hear these words. The saddest goodbye. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. For I never knew you. Time is now.
Amen.
The time to seek God is now. I don't care what you got going on tomorrow. I don't care what you got going on later on tonight. Lord willing, I'm going to drive home tonight. And if I make it, I make it. If I don't, and any of you come to my funeral or call my parents or whatever, don't come weeping for me. Unless there are tears of joy.
Amen.
Because this old boy is going home.
Man.
I'm going home. A place where I can't even begin to describe. I'm going home. My eternal destination is heaven because God has richly saved my soul. I'm worried about the ones that don't have a testimony of an experimental knowledge of salvation tonight.
Man.
I'm worried about you. Because if you don't make it home tonight, I don't have control over that. If you don't, you don't have control over that. But if God's drawing you right now, you do have the control of going to Him.
Amen.
You do. Because if He's calling you, come, it's up to you to answer. You know, we made a statement this morning, when Jesus passed by, great things happen. Great things happen. Well, there's a man named blind Bartimaeus that was sitting on the roadside. Couldn't see a thing. Didn't have any clue who Jesus really was physically to look upon him because he didn't be able to see him. He heard a crowd get loud. He said, what's going on? What's happening? The crowd said, well, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. The Bible didn't say he laughed. The Bible didn't say he made fun of them because they told him Jesus was coming. Remember, he couldn't see what was going on. He had to take their word. You know, tonight you can't see Christ. But you have to take His word that He's real.
Amen.
Jesus come walking down. And as he got closer, the crowd got louder. Bartimaeus started crying out, "Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He embarrassed the crowd around him, didn't he? The crowd said, "Shh, hush, he ain't got time for you. He don't have time for you." Bartimaeus said, "Sure does. Yes, he does. Oh, thou son of David, the Bible says he got louder. Have mercy upon me." All because that he heard that the name of Jesus was coming.
Man.
Couldn't see him. Jesus said, "Come here. What would thou hast me to do with thee?" He said, "Give me my sight." Jesus gave him his sight. But you know, that's not the first blind man Jesus healed.
Man.
But there's something special that happened. Because Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole."
Man, man.
Or in other words, complete.
Man.
You have been saved by my grace. Not only did you have a physical a defect and a physical blindness and you couldn't see me, but you're spiritually blind and you need your eyes open, and they were open and you were made whole, complete. Go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole. You know, he healed other blind people that he didn't say, "Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." He healed them, they received their sight, moved on. But Bartimaeus, there's something special about him. Oh yes, he cried unto the Lord mightily until God heard his cry. You see, if you're here and lost tonight, you must cry unto the Lord mightily until God hears your cry. I don't care if I hear a word out of your mouth. God needs to hear from your heart tonight.
Amen.
"Oh, thou son of David," he said, "have mercy upon me." Could not see him, did not know. But the crowd told him. Tonight, I can't show you Jesus, but I can tell you all about him. And when he comes in this presence, I believe he's here tonight with us.
Man.
If you don't cry out to him, it's your fault. If you do, I'm not going to tell you to stop until you tell me you found him.
Man.
And then that's when you stop. But you don't stop till you find him. I don't care how tired you get. I don't care how weary you get. I don't care what time it is on the clock. I don't care if I make it on the road tonight or not. You don't stop until you find him, and I'll be here right with you. I won't be able to do anything except just wait. I won't even say I can pray for you. I'll pray with you. But you are going to have to pray to the Lord on your own. It's going to have to come from you.
Man.
I can't do it. The church can't do it. No. You are going to have to be the one that prays the prayer of repentance from that godly sorrow that sets up so deep and heavy in your heart. I'll say it again. If you want to go to hell, don't call out to Jesus. I can't stop you. But if you want to escape hell, there's only one that can. There's only one that can give you that escape. He says you must pass from death unto life. In other words, right now, if you're lost and separated from God, you're dead in the eyes of God. Separated from Him. Spiritually separated from God. And He's saying, "Tonight, I'm here. I'm here. Will you call upon me?" James says, "Draw nigh," or "draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." I understand that James is writing to the children of God there. But I believe if you are very concerned about your soul, and that you want God to deal with you to the point to where He will draw you, I believe with all my heart, if you are sincere in it, that if you call upon God, begging Him to draw you, to bring you to Him, that He will.
Amen.
And He'll meet you halfway. But He wants you to come to Him. See, David said, "I love the Lord because He had heard my prayer and my supplication." Why do I love the Lord so much tonight? Because when He draw me, and I cried out, He heard from His heavenly throne above. And He reached down and He saved my soul. How He did it, I told you earlier, I can't explain it. And I won't even try to explain how He did it. But I can tell you exactly why He did it. Because He loved me.
Man.
And He loves you tonight. And He wants you to be saved. You know your heart. Let's be honest with everybody. Let's be honest with ourselves. We all know our hearts. We all know if we're saved. We all know if we're not. When I was saved, I was looking for something to happen. I was looking for more than just a peace to flood my soul. I have heard my whole life about Paul on the road to Damascus and how a great light shined about him, and he fell to his knees and his eyelids became as scales and he couldn't see. And he heard a voice from heaven crying out, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I waited for that for years. I sought God for that experience. That's Paul's experience. It's not mine. And that wasn't salvation. I'm not saying Paul didn't get saved that day. I'm just saying that wasn't salvation. That was his experience. The blind man, Bartimaeus. I didn't hear a great crowd saying Jesus was coming. I heard the children of God rejoicing in the name of Jesus. That was Bartimaeus' experience. He saved another blind man. That blind man said, they asked him if the man that saved him was a sinner or not. He said, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not. Only thing I know, I once was blind. And guess what? Now I see." That was his experience. He went from the blindness to be able to see. Amen. Your experience might be a little different than mine. I thought that I would get up off the altar and shout. I've seen it my whole life. Been in church for 2 weeks old. I've seen him come up off the altar just shouting all over the house. And everybody just jump in with him and start shouting. I thought I was going to get up and hug my mama's neck. Oh, I thought that was it. My mama always sit right behind the altar. I was always right there on that corner. And I always knew mama was right there. And I thought, "Lord, you saved my soul. I'll know it because I'll get up and I'll hug mama's neck." You want to know what happened the night that I got saved? That convicting power was so heavy upon me that my heart just broke. There's a trouble inside that I just could not stand and I could not get rid of, no matter which way I turned or how I went. I could not get rid of it. I bowed down and cried out to the Lord. And when He heard my cry, a peace came upon me. That godly sorrow was gone. That trouble that was deep down inside was gone. And a peace that passes all understanding, the only way I know to explain it, because I can't understand it, just took over my whole body. And I thought, I got it. Oh, but I couldn't have. I didn't shout. I didn't hug mama's neck. I can't even sing a song. I didn't get it. I left Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church that night not telling a soul what happened. Because I didn't think I got salvation. I experienced something happen. There's a change that happened deep down inside. That godly sorrow, that pain was gone and a newness of life was given to me and I was made whole. But no, I didn't do what I thought I should do. I didn't see a great light. Didn't hear a booming voice. I didn't have a vision. So I went home that night. Revival continued. I went back to the altar. I prayed. The Lord took me back to the night before. I said, "That's it right there." "No, Lord, that couldn't be it. That couldn't be it. I didn't shout. You didn't make me shout, Lord. That couldn't be it. I couldn't have it." I went for almost a year. Every time I go to the altar, God would take me back to that night. And every time I would get a little bit more of what happened that night. If it wasn't for my dear old mama, I wouldn't be able to tell you the night I got saved. I wouldn't be able to tell you the exact day that I got saved on. I wouldn't be able to tell you the exact month that I got saved in. Only thing I know is something happened. As I continued going back to the altar, the Lord would show me. I'm hard-headed, if you hadn't figured it out yet. Don't say anything, sis. But I'm hard-headed. I am very hard-headed. And it runs in the line of the men in our family. We're hard-headed. It took a lot for God to get through to me exactly what happened. As I went back to the altar and I'd start praying, "God, save my soul," He'd take my mind and my heart right back to that time. I kept saying, "Lord, it couldn't be. It couldn't be." And He'd say, "Son, that's it. I don't know what else you're looking for, but that's it." He would show me that peace that flooded my soul that day is still there today. I went for almost a year arguing with the Lord about that salvation. Until finally I went back to the altar. And the Lord said, "Son, if you didn't get it that day, you're never going to get it. Because that was what I gave you." And it came just as clear as a crystal clear river. That I had gotten saved. And guess what I didn't do? I still didn't shout. I didn't sing. And I didn't hug Mama's neck. I went out that door and didn't tell a word to anybody. Went home. Thought, Lord, I'll tell them someday. But not right now. Sunday morning come up, Elder Calvin Perrigo stood before the church. And he opened the doors of the church. And I was sitting close to about the second row in the evening corner over there, Dad. And I just remember the Lord just knocking on my heart and saying, now's the time to tell. I got up. Mom and Dad thought I was going to go back to the bathroom. Went to the front. I shook Brother Perrigo's hand and said, I want to join this church. And he said, son, are you saved? I said, yes, sir. He goes, do you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? I said, without a doubt. He said, okay. They finished the song. I don't even know what was going on. Mama's over here crying. Dad's over here trying to sing. Brother Perrigo said, son, tell them what happened. And that was the first time I ever told the whole world what happened to me that night that God saved my soul. You see, even though you might be hard-headed and hard-hearted, God can still show you what happened. Man. You might be looking for something that isn't ever going to happen. Your experience isn't always exactly what someone else's is, but you still must come down the road of repentance and faith toward Jesus Christ, the Savior. Man. That part will never change. Where you're at, exactly what you're doing at that moment, that might change. That might change. But the experience of God will never change. You must come His road or no road in order to be saved. And that road's through repentance and faith. You see, that night I got saved, that godly sorrow was hurting so bad. I didn't know what else to do but just trust in the Lord. And when you can do that, God will direct your paths the rest of the way. I've heard people say, oh, you got to repent, you got to repent. Repent or perish, Jesus said. How in the world do you repent? Can you repent tonight? Do you know exactly how to repent? Do you know exactly what you're supposed to do in order to be saved? The Bible says repent. Well, how do you repent? God said, trust in me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We quoted this the other night. Lean not to thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. He says, if I draw you, you acknowledge me and I will direct your path. Tonight, I don't know what stands in your way. I really don't. I know one that doesn't stand in your way, and that's God.
Man.
He doesn't stand in your way. And you have no other excuse. No other excuse tonight. If He's drawing you, tonight's the night. If you desire salvation and He's not drawing you, it's still tonight's the night. Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Don't let the word depart. Seek God while He may be found. Well, I think this is the first revival where I haven't said that. Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, He said. He said, call upon Him while He is near. But He didn't end it there. He didn't end it there. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. He's telling you what you must do. But then He goes on the next verse and let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man so let him return unto the Lord. He's telling you how to repent. Yes. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call out unto Him while He is near. When He's dealing with you is when He may be found. When He's dealing with you is when He is near. Let the wicked man, oh, I'm not that good. I'm not that bad. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. No righteous, none that seek after the Lord. Tonight, I don't care who you are, where you're from, or where you're going. You must have salvation. You must experiment. Have an experimental knowledge of it, or you'll never make it into heaven. You will hear the saddest goodbye. You will hear it if you don't ever find Him now. Now is the time. While you're breathing, while you have breath in your body, while the lights are on in the building, while you are not out in this world, right now is the time to find Him.
Amen.
Right now. I don't know why you won't seek Him. I don't. My mind is just blown away when I think about why people won't seek God, especially when they hear about hell, the torments in hell, what God has done for them and the love of Christ that has been shown, shared abroad, that we might all have salvation. I don't understand, Brother Taylor, but it's not up to me to understand. It's up to me to warn, and you take your choice.
Amen.
Do what you must do tonight. Do what you must do tonight, but when you stand before God, in that day of judgment, and He brings back to your mind this day in 2017, and He says, "You know, I came to you, and I drawed you to me. That man you just wished it would shut up, kept warning you. And then when he got done, the other one warned you, and then they had a song. And that night that you said, 'No, I don't have time for you, Lord,' that was the night I was knocking hard on your heart. That was the night that I was there for you to find me. That was the night I was begging you to seek after me that you may be found. That was the night." So don't make any excuses, because tonight is your night. Your night. My night was a Saturday night after Thanksgiving when I was 11 years old. Your night can be this Sunday night. Right here at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Could be in your pew. Could be at the altar. Could be back in the vestibule. Could be in the restroom. But tonight be your night. I remember following Brother Chad Ramirez back in the restroom one evening. He had been seeking God, and God placed it on my heart to follow after Him when he got up off the altar. And you know what I found? I found him bent over in the bathroom stall, begging God to save his soul there. And God didn't. It wasn't until a few years later at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, underneath the crib at the nursery there, that he found the Lord. Wasn't even in the sanctuary. People, I'm telling you, God is everywhere.
Amen.
And He hears everywhere. But right now, He's giving you this very moment, here in the sanctuary, here at this church, to call upon Him. I'm not here to counsel you into salvation. I'm here to tell you the road to salvation and let God take care of the rest.
Amen.
This evening, as I close, I want to close by begging you. And I'm not beyond begging. And if you tell me it'll do any good, I'll get down here in front of everyone. I'll get on my hands and knees. And I'll literally beg you to seek after God. Because tonight is your night. Tomorrow or later on tonight might not ever come. So tonight is what God has given you. So tonight is the night that He's saying, "Come, seek me that you might have life." He says, "Seek ye me and you shall live." No one else. Seek Him. Tonight, what is in your way? Pride? Hard-headedness? Are you shy? Are you shy? If you tell me you need to be left alone, I will guard a door. You go where you need to go, and I will stand guard to that door until you come out and tell me you're either done praying or you found the Lord. If that's what it takes, I will stand guard. The only thing you got to do is tell me I need to go pray and I need to be left alone. I'll stand guard, because that's how important it is for you tonight. That's how it's important for you tonight to find salvation. If that's your problem, let me help a little bit. I'll stand guard and let you go find the Lord, because that's what matters. You find the Lord. I already found the Lord. It's your time. It's your time. Will you be ready when He calls your name? Will you be ready to say, "Here am I, Lord, take me home"? Or you say, "Oh no, Lord, give me one more chance"? Then God's going to say, "No, I've given you multiple chances, and you turn me away." Don't let that be you tonight. Don't turn Him away. Don't turn Him away. Because tonight could be your night. I guarantee you, here in a moment, we're going to have a song. We're going to go through the traditions of an altar call.
I said it last night, I'm going to say it again. I don't want us to have an altar call. I don't. I want us to have a call to Jesus. Because this altar is not going to save you.
Amen.
There's only one that has virtue, and that is Christ.
Amen.
This altar is a wonderful place. I saved on the Lord's business. It's wonderful to me. It's a special spot there at Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. Even though they've moved the pulpit area out and put a baptistry in, I can still take you a few steps back to where that altar used to be, where God saved my soul. It's a special spot, but that's all it is, a convenient place to come pray. It does have not any virtue in it.
Amen.
The one that does is seated at the right hand of the Father, and that's where you need to go. So again, I'll tell you, if you're shy and you need somewhere to go, I'll stand guard. I'll stand guard. If we got to stand guard all night for you to find the Lord, I'll stand guard all night. I'll call my son to school tomorrow and tell them we've been in church all night. They're not going to make it. That's fine. I'm not embarrassed to tell them that. I'll call them work. Hey, I've been up all night with a lost soul seeking God. But guess what? It'd be worth it all, people. Even if they say I'm crazy and they fire me, I don't care. That's fine. If that's what it takes. If that's what it takes for you to get to the Lord, that's all that matters. So tonight, I don't know what else to do, but just ask for a song. And as we sing this song tonight, I want you to think about your... I want you to think about where you're going to go if you close your eyes in death this very moment. Because hell's waiting. It hasn't changed. It's waiting. It's been said here multiple times this weekend, it's enlarged itself. It's waiting for you. But also God is waiting for you. And He says, if you come to me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He told Jeremiah there, seek ye the old ways. And you'll do what? He said, you'll find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not look. We will not seek. So tonight, don't be hard-headed. Hard-hearted, stubborn, submit unto the Lord and find true peace, something this world cannot give you, but only God can. As we stand together and sing,